This is the Count, Scarefon Elijah. And I hope you're ready for an all-new spooky episode of the Cultcast. There's only one thing I love more than the weekly Cultcast, and that's to count 1, 2, 3. Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast. I'm your host, Kilfon Skerlijah. I'm joined by my very spooky sidekick, Boo Sterheini. Welcome, Booster.
Hello.
Oh, I'm joined by the very scary Leander Kenny. Now, that might sound very scary, but you should see his face. This is episode 98 of the Cultcast.
But what is this? Is this like the Halloween version?
Yeah, it's Halloween.
Halloween?
Didn't you know that? That was the Count.
Oh, from Sesame Street?
Yeah. 1, 2, okay. 3.
All right, I get it. Okay, yeah, fine.
I'm going to count all the way up to episode 98. Bear with me. 1, 2, 55. 56.
What have you been watching this past week?
You know, Buster doesn't
get a DVD.
I just love the Count. I just love the Count. Buster didn't know who he was. I did that when I first called him, and he had no clue what the heck was happening.
Yeah,
as much like you just didn't.
I'm with him.
Oh, welcome to Cultcast, everybody. This week, sponsored by the new book everyone's going to want to read. Everyone, even me, the Count, Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products, available for pre-order now. This is Leander Caney's new book. It's finally finished. Finally finished. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure this day would come, but here it is. Right. Leander, it must feel great to have this thing finally hitting stores. It's available on Amazon right now. If people want to pre-order it.
Yeah, please do pre-order it, because it makes a big difference, you know, in how many copies Amazon orders and how much they promote it. So the more pre-orders you get, the better.
And it's going to be a great book. I mean, nothing like this.
It is a great book.
It's out on the market.
The reviews, just got a review from Kirkus. They liked it. Very pleased about that.
And we're going to be giving away some free copies with Leander's signature, I think for episode 100, right, Leander?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
So you can win a free copy signed by El Kahaney himself. It'll probably have some Cheetos dust on it and stuff, but you know, that's that just adds to the class. And please do go pre-order that. And also, I want to announce we finally made a decision for episode 100. We are going to be doing a Google Hangout. We haven't decided on the day or the time yet, but stay tuned. Next episode, we'll announce that. And so we'll just kind of hang out on Google Hangouts. You guys could tweet us questions, maybe send us some questions beforehand. And we'll just hang out, have a good time, maybe take our shirts off. Who knows? It's going to be a party. Yes. Maybe chug a couple beers.
Tan?
What?
Are we going to go tanning or something? Is that why the shirts are off? Or?
I wasn't. I was just going to give them a little bit more for the show. I'm not going to be involved in this. With all that said, guys, I thought we could start with a quick Mavericks tip that I found to be very useful.
Sweet.
And for those of you out there who have installed Mavericks, which hopefully is everybody, you can press Control, Command in the space bar when you're typing something, and it will bring up your emojis panel. For those of you that follow me on Twitter, you know I like to use emojis to express myself and my feelings.
What is it again? Which one?
So you press Control, Command, and then space bar together, and it will bring up the emojis menu. So you can just click on the emoji and party on, dudes. Are you looking for it? This is in Mavericks, Leander.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, well, I have to really pound down on the keyboard to bring them up.
Did you? Yeah.
Speaking on emojis. Oh, there.
And honestly, this has not been working great for me. And if it's not working well for you and you figure out how to get it to work, let me know. Because I guess there's some applications that use that same shortcut, and it causes a conflict in Maverick. So when you hit those buttons together, nothing happens. That took me about 45 minutes to figure out. So if anyone figures out how to fix that, please tweet me. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. please help me. I would love to get that working.
Mine doesn't work at all. Plus, how do you cut and paste the things?
You don't have to cut and paste. You just double click them.
Well, how do I get into your what?
Hey, take your fingertip and press twice on the trackpad.
Oh, here you go. Then you drag. All right. There it goes. I'm trying to say, how do you get it into, you know, like the Skype text window?
There you go. Damn. Well, there you did it. Cool. I just got it. They're sending me messages in the background. Hey, guys, let's do a quick news cruise and just fire off some of these weekly news items. I'm getting a stream of emoticons as we speak.
Oh, here's a good one.
Okay. I don't even know.
I got an even better one. Where's the middle finger?
I think this is the first time Leander's ever used emoticons.
It is, yeah. They don't have a middle finger?
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe that Tim Cook would allow such a thing.
Well, hey, I'm going to punch you in the face. Ready? Get ready.
That's one I send a lot, actually. You know, it's a great day to be an Apple fan because the following just never happens when you're an Apple fan. Apparently, Dell's having some issues. I found this on Reddit. There's a big forum thread going about model 6430U. Wonderful name for a computer, don't you think? And
one of my favorites.
you have the 6430U?
Yeah.
Nice. Apparently, people are complaining, and this is not a joke, that their machines, when they turn them on and use them for a little while, start to smell like cat pee. And there's a huge thread going about this. I'm going to read you one of the comments. Somebody said, so a few weeks ago, I got a new Dell Latitude 6430U for work. The machine is great, but it smells as if it was assembled near a Tomcat's litter box. It's truly awful. It seems to be coming from the keyboard. Anyone got any advice on removing the smell? And there's this poor Dell customer service agent keeps popping in and out of this thread recommending people use like a can of compressed air to spray the keyboard. And the more he recommends that, the angrier the people get. They're like, this has nothing to do with a can of compressed air. My keyboard smells like cat piss. How do I fix this? And apparently, as far as I can tell, there is no fix for it. So be That's thankful awesome. That your MacBook Air, your MacBook Pro keyboard doesn't smell like cat pee. Other big news this week. So the iPad Air has been benchmarked. Apparently, according to Geekbench scores, it's 80% faster than its predecessor, the iPad 4, and 5 times faster than the iPad 2, which is crazy considering that the iPad 2 is only $100 less. And also that the iPad 2, you know, doesn't have a Retina screen, so it doesn't have as much pixels to drive. Mm-hmm. Buster, didn't you also say that our favorite person, Matt Wasberg, said that he loved this thing more than anything else in his life, including relatives and stuff?
Including his new puppy. Including his spouse. He said it was the best tablet he's ever reviewed.
Wow. Did he give any more specifics on why he thought that?
Let's see. What did he say? He said he found it to be a lot more comfortable to hold for long periods because it's, you know, the bezel's smaller. It's faster. Also, he said the Wi-Fi was noticeably better. And if you can afford it, it's the best iPad you should get.
I'm excited. I don't think we've seen any Retina.
He knows how to generate the excitement there.
Yeah. There's the guy you want on your marketing team. Yeah. I'm really excited for the iPad Mini. And I know the iPad Air goes on sale, Buster. You said this Friday, November 1st, correct?
Yeah.
We still don't have a date on the iPad Mini, though.
Right? No, we don't.
That's just later in November.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've been thinking about like whether I should get an Air or a Mini because, you know, it's coming out sooner.
People keep asking that question. People keep asking me that question on Twitter. So what are you doing?
here's one thing that I just kind of realized is that the pixel density is quite a bit higher on the iPad mini. Like, they both have the same 2048 by 1536 resolution, mm-hmm. except, you know, so the iPad mini, it's 326 pixels per inch, whereas the other one, it's like 264. So you're getting, you know, the same display. And then also, if it's the same A7, you're basically getting the whole iPad package in a smaller form factor. So I think that's kind of made up my mind for me.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. So you're saying you're going the mini route?
Yeah, just because of resolution is better too.
Yeah.
Better iPad.
I mean, they're essentially the exact same iPad. They just, one has a larger screen.
Right.
And yeah, one's cheaper, obviously. That's the direction I'm going to. I don't really see any reason to go with a larger screened iPad. I've had a larger screened iPad since it came out, and they're awesome, but I think I want something more portable. What were you saying,
Leander? Well, that's the thing. You see, I think the weight now, though, the fact that it's a you know, it's only a pound, makes it a lot more portable. All the early reviews I read were saying that you know, it's really crazy light. It almost floats. You don't even have to hold it. It just, like,
it's almost like it was as light as air.
What?
It's like light almost as if air. It's as light as air.
Exactly. There you go. Probably why they called it that.
So, a bat.
So you're getting, like, it's kind of like a mini, right? It has all those advantages of the mini that you can hold it for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a bigger screen.
I'm going to end up buying the mini, and I'm going to go into the Apple store and hold one of these things, and I'm gonna have gear envy, I think.
Yeah.
Serious gear envy.
That's why I probably just won't go to the Apple store until the iPad mini with Retina comes out. Just so I'm just not tempted.
Well, then maybe you'd want to do a comparison.
There's the Leander we know and love. By the way, I'm sitting here in my living room next to my dog, who's looking out the window. My dog likes to bark at anything that passes our house, and especially people delivering packages. And I'm expecting MacBook Pro, which is, there he is. He's literally here right now. Can you guys hear him? Wow, I did not time that whatsoever. He's carrying my MacBook Pro to the door as we speak. Let me open the door for him. BRB.
Oh, my God, that was really funny. And the dog goes bananas right on cue. The MacBook Pro. Great, can't wait to hear about that for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it's going to do a live unboxing for us.
Yeah, we can just sit and listen to the whole thing. It'll be great.
The plastic is so shiny. It's just awesome.
That is too funny. So I am now the proud owner of a new MacBook Pro and a new time capsule. These things are grossly late. I was supposed to get them last week, and UPS has been holding these things hostage in Portland, Oregon. And finally they're here, and that's really hilarious that right as I describe it, I literally look to my left, and he starts walking up the stairs, and my dog's teeth start going, and I can see her, like, snarling at him. Let's continue the show, shall we?
Well, Buster and I were hoping you're going to do a live unboxing.
I'm pulling the MacBook Pro from the box. I'm cutting the tape.
Yeah.
I'm removing the computer from the packaging. She's giving them both a good sniffing, though. Now she's licking the time capsule box. Apparently, that's her favorite.
That's what you want to do with those electronics.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, where were we? I believe we were talking about the iPad. And Leander, did you have anything to say on that before we moved on?
No, not really. I think I'm going to get the big one, though, because, you know, because it's so light. I think it's, like, it's going to be like the Mini, which, you know, the reason I like the Mini is because it's light. It's really easy to hold in bed when you're reading. And
that's one of the reasons why it's appealing to me as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is, you know, because it's going to be, you know, bigger. The bigger screen is always better, right? So
is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But It is and it isn't. I mean, my iPad right now is generally relegated to only being read at night because I don't want to tote it around during the day because with the case and everything, it weighs a lot. Now, I hear your point. The new one's going to be a lot lighter, but still a pound. You add a case to that. Now you're at a pound and a quarter.
Well, you know, I want to go back to using the iPad full-time as my full-time machine.
Okay. Oh.
You know, I think I'm going to use – I think the bigger iPad is better suited to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
That's kind of – you have to consider all of your machines too, because I have a MacBook Air, and I, honestly, like a big iPad just seems like it would just try to replace my MacBook Air.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I want to do.
I don't need something that big.
I don't – I honestly do not know why you'd want to go from a MacBook Air to an iPad, Leander. That will never make sense to me.
No.
What do you mean? Why?
Why would you want to replace a MacBook Air – a real computer with a real keyboard like that's highly portable?
Because I like the way, you know, like even though most of my life is email, right? Mm-hmm. That's my job, email. Mm-hmm. That's all I do. And so, yeah, it's easier on a laptop because you've got the keyboard there. But I can't type anyway.
And you could type better on a flipping iPad than on a proper keyboard?
Yeah, I got a cover, a keyboard
cover. You
get
one of those keyboard cases.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
So I just prop it up, and it's like having a laptop, but it's significantly lighter.
Well, what about running apps in the background and stuff?
Well, that was the thing. That's why I switched back, because I went to the iPad full-time until I had to, like, edit this book. Mm-hmm. And the editing was like, you know, I needed to have a bunch of different apps open. I needed to be checking the web and email and interviews and, you know, and bunches of documents and I could type on it, but the problem was switching between the apps. You know, constantly hitting the home button to switch. That was what drove me crazy. So I got a laptop to finish the book up. And, you know, if I'm not going to be doing that kind of heavy-duty work, that heavy lifting anymore, if I'm just going to go back just to email and web surfing and, you know, what I normally do during my regular job, mm-hmm. I think I can pretty much do that on the iPad.
All right.
And I like the way you do things. Like some stuff's much better on the iPad, right? Because you get to touch the screen.
It's more focused. I think when you're working on an iPad, you're more focused on, you know, the content that's right there. Whereas like when I have my MacBook Air, there's, you know, 20 different windows open that I'm mm-hmm. switching to. So
right, I think constant it does notifications. Help.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff does drive me crazy.
It's helpful.
Like editing photos on an iPad is much nicer than it is doing on a laptop.
Yeah. Well, caveat, if you're editing JPEGs, you can't edit RAW photos on an iPad.
Well, yeah, you know, hopefully someday.
Hopefully someday. Hopefully someday.
Well, we're just working with JPEGs, though. You know, I mean, we're not professional photographers.
Yeah,
so.
That's the thing. Is like I realize I'm not gonna be some like National Geographic photographer. It's just for me. So an iPad's good enough. Just
but
for,
Buster, you know, don't you have a high-end DSLR? Do you still have one? I know you. Your last one got busted,
it's busted, and I've just gone with just my iPhone the entire time.
Okay,
since
so now you're pretty much just doing JPEG.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, great segue. One of my favorite iOS applications has been updated. That's called Snapseed. I love Snapseed. It is my go-to app for editing photos on my iPhone. Pretty much every photo I post ends up running through Snapseed. Mm-hmm. I know it got some updates with some new features. Buster, would you care to tell us?
Yeah, it got new HDR features, HDR Scape. And if you're familiar with Snapseed, it kind of works the same way as the drama filter did. It just, you know, kind of brings out more colors and, you know.
Does it work well?
It works pretty well. If you go to the post that we did about it, you can see like a comparison photo that I did, just the original, and then with HDR Scape turned on. And, you know, it basically is kind of like supposed to be a one-touch fix, and, you know, your photo looks fantastic, and you can adjust like the strength of the filter and a couple other things. But yeah, it's actually really
I know it also got a shadow slider as well.
Yeah.
And that was one thing I always thought was missing, because you could control the brightness, but you can never control like the dark areas of a photo without pumping up the light areas as well.
Right.
Have you played around with that shadow slider at all?
Yeah, it is good. It's good. It's a nice update for Snapseed. What some other apps have already moved on to is not just the shadow slider, though. It's because now other apps like VSCO Cam have added color tinting to the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
there's another great photography app.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something a little bit more advanced than that shadow slider, Bosco has like can let you change the tint of it, too. But something basic, Snapseed's really good.
Is Snapseed, I think I got it on promotion when it was free. Is it free or does it cost like $2?
I think it's free now ever since Google bought it.
Aha, awesome.
I can't remember, though.
Let me look. Even if it's $2, it's absolutely worth it. Yeah, in my opinion, it's probably the best editing app, photo editing app in the App Store, at least that I've seen.
Yeah, like all around, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been in my app catalog forever, you know. It's been on my phone forever, while a lot of other photography apps have kind of died away.
Yeah, same here, and that's the one that's always, like, just stuck around and one that I use a lot. It is worth also mentioning, for those of you that have a 5S, apparently there is a manufacturing defect in a small amount of these that might be causing a battery drain. So if your battery seems to be dying extraordinarily fast, you might have a bad one, in which case Apple is supposed to be contacting you. Apparently they know who you are, where you are, and which iPhone you have. and consequently, so does the NSA.
Yeah, right.
And so they should be contacting you about that. But if you feel like you have a phone that has had its battery die more quickly than you would expect, and it probably needs to be dramatic, take it into the Apple Store and have them take a look at it. That might be one of the bad ones, and I'm sure they'll just toss a new one your way, as Apple does. Let's wrap up with this other quick story. Steve Jobs' childhood home has gotten an official historical site designation, Buster, as I know you know, which sounds really cool. But does this actually mean anything? Are they going to put a sign in the yard that says historical site? Does it mean they can't tear it down? Like,
yeah, that's what it means. They'll put a plaque in the yard. Makes it so that, you know, other people can't buy the property and then tear it down.
So if you buy that house from the owners, you have to leave it as is?
Yeah, and they're, you know, also what's interesting is Steve Jobs' stepmom still lives there. So there's no trespassing signs all over it, but it's a pretty popular tourist destination.
Jeez, so. I can imagine. You know what we should do? We should do a Kickstarter project to raise money for the Cultcast to buy his house. And then we should move our studio there.
Oh, yeah. We can record in the same garage.
Oh, can you imagine? We'll have the Woz come over as a guest. And we'll have original Apple co-founder Ashton Kutcher come over. And he can podcast with us.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. We should definitely make that a reality. I'm sure we could raise $600,000 or $700,000 for that house. You guys think?
$600,000 or $700,000?
You think it's more?
Gotta be plus a million.
We could definitely do a million. With this show yeah, and our dedicated fans, we could do a million no problem. We'll probably raise two.
Only 250,000.
Yeah, right. Okay. Enough with the news cruise. Excuse me. I want to ask you guys a question. Leander, you're going to poo-poo me here. But I do want to bring this up. So apparently, Tim Cook said some things at Apple's financial phone call, which just happened. And they got me excited because he hinted that Apple is working on some new products in some new product categories. And I want to read you guys his statements here. During his introductory remarks, Tim Cook noted that Apple sees significant opportunities ahead of us in both current product categories and new ones.
Ooh.
And he later reiterated the company was working on some great new products in areas where we do not participate today. Y'all. He said that very low. Most people didn't catch it.
Yeah.
This, of course, is not the first time Tim Cook has said this. And last time I talked about this, Leander, I think you're like, that's what they always say. So,
well,
I feel like this is a new
idea. More specific than normal.
Okay. See, it pretty much guarantees, because, I mean, he came out and said they're working on new products and new product categories. So
yeah,
this is newsworthy.
Great new products, but never, ever say new product categories.
Actually, I want to make sure that I
doesn't say categories. It just says great new products in areas we don't participate today.
Well, he said significant opportunities ahead of us in both current product categories and new ones.
Okay, yeah.
And then he went on to say, actually, he made statements like this before. Apparently, last February, Tim Cook told Forbes that Apple was working on some products that will blow your mind. That's a quote. Although those comments ended up being about some of Apple's existing product lines, which just got updates. So take that as you will. But it excites me to know. It's kind of like Tim Cook dangling that fortune cookie out there, right?
Yeah, but exactly. But you know what he's talking about, though. It's going to be like keyboard cases.
Or, it's going to be like an iPad keyboard case.
Yeah.
You know,
some Android accessories.
Historically speaking, you might be right. That actually might be what we're talking about. But, I mean, he did say significant opportunities. And I wouldn't consider that to mean a freaking iPad case. Like, I'm thinking an Apple TV that you wear on your wrist. I'm pretty sure that's what they're working on. You can quote me on that, John Gruber. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about this. I want to ask you guys about iTunes Radio. Apparently, there was a study done, and the people that were using iTunes Radio, they pulled people that were also using Pandora, and a majority of the people using Pandora have not switched over to iTunes Radio. We're several, what is it, I guess months now? Has it been a month since we've had access to iTunes Radio? I don't even remember.
Yeah, since iOS 7 was released, so yeah.
Do you guys find yourselves using it anymore? Like, how do you guys seek out your music these days?
I never use iTunes Radio.
You never used it significantly, you mean?
I used it, you know, when it was in beta, you know, just to test it out and see how it was going. But I still like RDO so much better.
What do you like about RDO so much? Because you've been a huge proponent for them. And every time we have a discussion around music, you always bring up RDO. What is it, like, over Spotify, over Pandora, like, what is it that you love about RDO?
I used to like Spotify a lot, and I don't know, RDO, it just is, the UI for RDO is so much better, easier to use. And also, there's better social features in RDO than Spotify, I think.
Leander, what are you using for your music these days?
Well, I was going to discuss that in Faves and Raves.
Oh. Well, so you have a Fave and Rave pick that fits into this question?
Indeed, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't want you to give it away too early. So what I've been doing for music, people ask me this on Twitter too. I kind of have a three-app strategy, if you will. I started off listening to iTunes Radio when it came out. And I think it's great if you don't want to pay for a service. iTunes Radio is good. But according to the study, the thing about iTunes Radio people disliked the most is the fact that they felt like the music that it played you wasn't relevant enough to the songs that you were picking. That was kind of my problem. I have been a Pandora proponent on this show. I love Pandora. I pay for Pandora. And Pandora serves songs that I feel are relevant to song picks that I've given it. But what I do is I use Pandora for music discovery. And then when I find a song that I like, I use the Spotify free service. Because if you have a Mac, you can use Spotify for free on your Mac. They just play you ads. So I'll create a playlist based upon a song or an artist that I found that I like to be on Pandora. I also use Shazam Pro, which I think is like $6. And that allows you to hold your iPhone up to any music that's playing. Generally when I'm in American Apparel, which is not all that often these days, you know, because they don't sell the unitards right now because it's cold. But I always hear great music in there. I always hear great music in there. So I always end up holding my iPhone up to the speaker and using Shazam. And then Shazam will tag a song. It will tell you what the song actually is. And then with Shazam Pro, you can actually send that song directly to Pandora, to Spotify, to iTunes. I don't know if RDO is one of those picks. And then that way, it loads it into Spotify. And then I can save that song to listen to later. So it gives me a great way to discover new music. And then once I've discovered like a new song or a new artist, I can listen to all their albums. Because most albums, unless they're really popular, like... I don't know if Led Zeppelin is on Spotify, for instance, although they might be now. But Spotify has everything. And Buster, I don't know if you can answer this question, but last I checked, Spotify had significantly more music than RDO by the millions of songs. Do you know if that's true any longer? Do you know how many songs RDO has?
I don't know. I mean, they are pretty close to the same. I felt like RDO always had a little bit more indie music than Spotify, and mm-hmm. that John kind of seemed to agree with me on
John Brownlee.
Yeah, but I mean, it's both of their libraries have expanded so much over the last year to a year and a half. It's kind of hard to keep track of everything.
Have you guys found iTunes Radio, like the UI, confusing to use at all?
Not very.
Yeah, me either.
I just felt like...
yeah, well, me either, so that's cool. You felt like what?
I felt like I didn't like the stations. Like whenever I chose a station, it just felt like the music never really matched for me with iTunes Radio.
Yeah, you're trying to listen to some Nat King Cole, and all of a sudden Skrillex comes on.
Yeah,
you're like, I don't want the Skrillex on this radio station.
Should get made. Yeah, who's choosing this?
Well, with that said, since Leander is playing hard to get, let's just jump into an all new. It's been far too long since we've had a faves and raves and faves and raves and Leander.
Faves and raves.
That was lovely. Thank you, Leander. This is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps, and then we let you vote on which one's best. You could do so on our Facebook page. That's just facebook.com/thecultcast. And let us know after the show which pick you think wins. I'm pretty sure it's going to be mine, but let's just go ahead and everyone can pitch theirs. Leander, since you didn't get to share on the last story, do you want to start on Faves and Raves and tell us what your pick is?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, so it's... I've actually forgotten what the name of it is. I want to get it exactly right.
Okay, yeah, that would be good so people can find it.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry, I was going to say tune up, but it's tune in radio.
Okay.
Tune in radio.
Uh-huh.
I know this has been around for a long time.
That's okay.
And I'm probably the last person to discover it.
That might be true.
And I was using... So I've been, you know, listening to the radio here stinks,
mm-hmm.
and I miss the home country and the music. So I've been tuning into a lot of London radio stations,
mm-hmm.
and TuneIn Radio does it. You know, for some reason, I think I had it on the Sonos, and for some weird reason, it didn't have a bunch of British radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
So I neglected it for a long time. It was, you know, probably I knew about this before, so this is the reason I've only just started using it again. But now it seems like it has almost, you know, everything that I can think of anyway. And it streams really well. I mean, it's great. I can drive around town or go anywhere, you know, and use my iPhone to listen to the radio in London. And the thing that I like the best is the fact that you can record shows now.
Oh, wow. So, that is handy.
Yeah, I can. And this may it may have had that feature for a while, but, you know, now I can fill up the last gig on my iPhone.
With, yeah, get that thing full.
Yeah, with a couple of radio shows. But you can set it a certain time and to repeat every day or every week so you can record your favorite shows. And I used to do this with Radio Shift, which is no longer being made.
Mm-hmm.
It was Rogue Amoeba, I think. So I was recording a whole bunch of shows. In fact, too many.
I used to do that too, actually. That worked. Yeah, that worked really well.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it does. And it works really well on the iPhone now too. I wish it had an automatic delete so you could delete the old shows after you listen to them or something like that, but I guess you gotta, you know, that's not such a big problem. But it's got like 50,000 stations and they're all, and the organization's pretty good too, the browsing. So you can browse, you know, not only by location but by genre. And that's actually pretty detailed. I found they only list the stations though by genre, not the shows. That's a weakness, I think. But
it definitely sounds like a big weakness. I don't necessarily know if this is a good pick. I don't know if our listeners should vote for this one.
It does podcast. That's the last thing. So you know, it's for an internet radio app. It's really pretty comprehensive.
All right, Booster.
Hey, man. Is it my turn?
Yeah, go.
Okay. My pick is actually, it's an old one, but a new one, kind of. A Tweetbot 3.0. It came out last week. It's one of those apps that people like you were really kind of like mad at developers for charging.
I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad, but I'm glad that you brought this up. Yes, because there really aren't any new features in this app. They just made it look like the iOS 7 aesthetic, right?
No, no, there are new features, man.
Oh, there are. Okay, please do tell.
Hold on. Let me pull up the whole
thing. Let me pull up the release notes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to read you guys the release notes. Bug fixes. New tap to scroll.
No, I mean, there is, you know, there's push notifications. But, I mean, a lot of Tweetbots, it is, you know, the white iOS 7 aesthetic. But they've changed a lot of, you know, the animations, as well as they've made it quicker to, you know, like, fave stuff and view the conversation from the tweet. Also, more options for retweeting. And I don't know, man. It's an awesome app for Twitter, and I think it's worth the $2.99 upgrade price.
Do you feel like it's significantly better than the previous version?
I think it is significantly better, but I paid for the previous version 2 years ago, so I'm okay paying, you know, $2.99 every 2 years for like an update, because that's what I would be doing with, you know, my Mac apps and other apps like that. You know?
I mean, I'm cool paying the extra money. I mean, especially if there's a bunch of small improvements that make the overall app much better. Mm-hmm. But I guess for me, I keep asking people, waiting for a reason to upgrade, because no one has told me. You're the first person that's told me there were significant feature updates. I mean, if it's a lot better than the version I'm currently using, then all right, I'll throw down the money.
Well,
what
do you use currently?
I use Tweetbot. I use the older version.
Yeah, okay.
And then I also use the Twitter app. I use both.
Well, here's the thing. I just feel like the old Tweetbot really does look kind of stale on iOS 7, you know?
Yeah.
And then the official Twitter app has gotten really bad now that they allow, like, now that there's, like, auto previews of images. I just feel like that if you want, like, for a faster experience with Twitter, a more condensed information, Tweetbot 3 is a better experience.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's a funny thing. Have you noticed that now, how a lot of older apps, and, like, if you go back to my wife still uses iOS 6, and it just looks really old.
Oh, yeah. I picked up my buddy's iPhone the other day. He hasn't, you know, upgraded to iOS 7 yet. And just like something like Facebook, I was like, what is that? What app is that? Because it just looks very, like everything in the whole ecosystem, it all looks very dark and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Noticed that.
No, I know. It's strange. It's just happening now, I think, right? You know, because we've all been using it for a little while and you get used to it. And you go back and you look at the old one, you go, oh my God, it looks like Mac OS, you know, OS 6 or something.
But yeah.
A completely different era.
All righty. My pick, since you guys are so interested, is an app that's been around for a while, like yours, Leander, but I've recently discovered that it works really well with my Mac, and that is the Deliveries app. And it's by JuneCloud. It's been around forever, I know.
This is the thing you've been checking obsessively?
Yes. Since I had my two UPS packages sitting in Portland forever. So what this thing does is it allows you to enter in tracking numbers. You can enter in your order number from Apple. You can order in your order number from Amazon. All these different delivery services. It's from the company JuneCloud, and it keeps track and it sends you notification updates whenever your packages are moving and wherever they're going. And the cool part is I've been using the JuneCloud widget. Somebody just the other day on Twitter, Buster, was asking you and me if we use widgets. I do use widgets, and one of my favorite is the JuneCloud widget, which lets you do the exact same thing as the iPhone app, except it doesn't have all the features that the iPhone app has. And the cool thing is you can sync through JuneCloud's service. So if you enter in a package on your Mac, all those packages also show up on your iPhone, on your iPad, because the app is universal. So you're constantly, you have a great reference at all times to where your packages are. If you do a lot of online shopping like I do, or when I'm getting a review unit, you know, I want to make sure I know when the package is arriving, especially if it needs a signature. This is one of the best ways that I've found to track your packages wherever they go. Really robust. The app is beautifully designed. It is $5, which I kind of... This is going to sound like a cheapskate. Yeah. Cheapskate comment. I kind of feel like it's overpriced. Like, it's probably be $3. But it is so useful that, in my mind, I'm okay giving the developer $5, especially because I've used the widget for years. So I'm like, I kind of owe June Cloud $5 at this point. I owe it to him.
Sounds like just, it. Yeah, like, yeah. $500.
Yeah, yeah. I probably owe him like $200. In fact, June Cloud, send me an invoice. What?
How much stuff do you get delivered?
Well, I do all my shopping online. Like, whenever I need anything, I pretty much buy it on Amazon, or I'll buy it from like Newegg.com. I never buy stuff from stores, except for grocery. No, I don't have my toilet paper delivered. I get that from Costco.
We just started doing that, actually, through Amazon.
Did you really? Well, you need JuneCloud. Huh? You need the deliveries app.
Well,
you
see, I'm only delivered every three or four months.
Well, you know.
Sit around, where's my toilet paper? Oh, my God.
Well, you wouldn't have to sit around and wonder if you had the deliveries app on iPhone. It's only $5.
Yeah, very true.
All right, so there you go. Mine is the deliveries app on App Store. It's $5. Buster, yours is...
Tweetbot,
$3. It's the third version, Tweetbot 3.0. Leander, yours is TuneIn Radio. I believe it's free, right?
That's I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. I believe it's actually $200, so probably shouldn't vote for that one. And wow, look at us. All iOS apps.
Yeah.
I think
that
might be a first.
Well, I mean, I thought I always pick hardware when everybody else chooses iOS apps. I kind of just wanted to keep the playing field level.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I should open up my MacBook Pro and be like, my pick is my MacBook Pro.
I love it.
It's the best computer I've ever owned. It only costs like $2,800.
Hey, did you get the which one? Which chip did you get in it?
I got the top of the line 15-inch. So it's the only one with the discrete graphics card.
Oh, okay. And was there a choice of two different chips?
No. You mean as far as processors?
Processor, yeah.
Yeah. I think I got the 2.3. I believe you could get the 2.6 for an extra $200 or something. Don't quote me on the math. But that kind of upgrade to me is never worth it. I mean, you're going to get such an insignificant amount of processor performance increase that for the price, to me, it's just simply not worth it. I think for most people, it's probably not worth it. If it were like a whole gigahertz faster, dude, I would totally do that. But 0.3, come on.
Well, I mean, your processor's not going to be your bottleneck anyway. It's going to be your RAM now, right?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure what it's going to be now. It used to be the hard drive, but this thing has the PCI.
It has an SSD too.
Yeah, this one has the SSD, and it's not just like regular SSD. This is the kind that's like infused with magma onto the motherboard.
The performance.
Exactly. I'm going to be getting performance all over the place. I hope Alex knows how much better my computer is than his. I'm going to let him know on a regular basis. Since he was always making fun of me, oh, you're the only one excited about a new MacBook Pro. Not true, Alex. Man. A lot of our listeners were excited about it.
Like, a MacBook is something that you upgrade every, like, 3 to 4 years. So, you know, you kind of only get excited about them in cycles when it's your turn to upgrade. And then you're
exactly.
just, like, starving for a new one, you know?
Yeah, you just described my life perfectly. This is why I've been talking about this computer for the last 3 months incessantly, annoying you guys with it.
And now when it's our turn to upgrade, you're going to be like,
shut up, dude. No one cares. No one cares about the stuff you like. They only care about the stuff I like. So, yeah, just shut up about that, okay? All right. On that positive note, we should probably wrap it up there, guys.
Oh, I thought we were done.
No, we're not done. We have to do the end of the show. That's all the call casts we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? We would love if you guys went onto our Facebook page, told us which favorite rave winner you want to select. Just head over to facebook.com/thecultcast. You can always follow us on Twitter as well. Buster is BST3R. Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news and reviews in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we will see you guys in your nightmares.
Hey. What you doing?
Oh, you know, just hanging out.
Ah,
nice. I might turn into a bat later and fly around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Ooh. Would you like me to count for you? One, two, three.
But I didn't get it.
Did you ever watch Sesame Street?
Barely.
Oh, you're the only guy in the world who didn't watch Sesame Street. That was the count.
I love cool the count. Sesame Street,
I guess so. Hipster from the start.
I know. Sesame Street and Barney.
Wow, that was good material right there.
Sorry, man. I do your Halloween special. Do it with Leander. He'll get it.
Let's try it with Leander.